Darmal Show Live is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
Well, on the earth.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents...
We love the earth.
Normal Show Live! Marijuana Nation! Now, here's your host... Normal's outreach coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes, and welcome. It is Wednesday, March 14th, 2012, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thanks for joining us here on this Hemp Day Hump Day. We got all sorts of great content coming to you here live at Rolla J Studios. Got some friends hanging out in the studio as well. We got Craig and Brian hanging out here. I'll show you on the table out there. How you guys doing?
Doing well. Always happy to be here.
All right. Glad to see you here. Also hanging out in the virtual studio in Grastoria, Oregon, we've got Cannabis Carrie. How you doing, Carrie?
Hello, Russ. I'm doing great. How about you?
Fantastic, although I could use more sleep. Here at Rolla J Studios, they've torn out an entire wall of my living room. They replaced all the plumbing. I finally have water now, so I can take a shower. That's really nice. But banging and sawing and all this noise they've been making all day. So, yeah, I could use a little more sleep.
Well, maybe tonight. Try again.
All right. Well, Carrie brings us our hemp headlines right after the first break. So what's in the news today?
Well, today we're going to cover a raid in California. Also, I have a follow-up on a sports figure that tested positive for marijuana last year. And we have some disturbing comments from the Senate Minority Leader. That's all coming up in the hemp headlines.
All right. That's Senator Mitch McConnell. Yeah, I saw that earlier today. I can't wait to get to that story. Just some more reefer madness coming from our leaders in Washington, D.C. Also on today's show, it is Irie Wednesday. So we're going to get some Irie Wednesday music from, not NorCal Perps this time. Wiz Khalifa is going to fill in and take care of the Irie Wednesday music from Soja today. Also in Irie Wednesday news, there will not be a new episode of the Irie Island Hour tonight. I know. But Wiz Khalifa's sister has her birthday party, I believe. So he's going to be taking the day off to attend the birthday party. We'll do a replay of a previous Irie Island Hour. Also coming up later tonight, we have got Free Weed with Danny Danko, new episode there, and the Libra Lounge from deep in the heart of Iowa, where you can get some education and some good coffee talk going on the marijuana issues of the day. So check that out. Also coming up in the next hour, Toker Talk Radio. You want to stay tuned and hear our great new intro we've got for Toker Talk. And if you missed the news earlier, we're going to be making that a paid subscription podcast. We'll talk more about that in hour two. Dr. Mitch joins us at the bottom of the hour, taking your live calls on marijuana culture, history, science, and health. And then at the end of the show, Dave Dawson from West Virginia Normal joins us to give us an update on what's happening with West Virginia medical marijuana and other attempts to reform marijuana laws in West Virginia. This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation. Thanks for joining us. We'll be right back after these short messages from our sponsors.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hi, I'm Radical Russ. One of the best things about marijuana is the wonderful aroma. But when you travel a lot like I do, that aroma becomes a suspicious smell. That's why I endorse stealth-products.com, the leaders in smell-proof containers. From smell-proof vacuum bags to smell-proof backpacks and duffel bags, all the way to smell-proof digital safes, stealth-products.com has you covered. Stealth-products.com brings you safe, secure, odorless layers of protection with activated carbon fiber. Backpacks and duffel bags are simple black so as not to attract attention with a logo or a flashy design. Now, nothing is perfectly odor-controlled from the detection of drug dogs, but with proper vigilance, containers from stealth-products.com will help you avoid nosy humans.
You're now listening to Elliot Beats.
Stealth-products.com. Stealth-products.com.
Hey, what up? It's the Dirtball from the Cottonmouth Kings. You are now listening to the Normal Show live.
Weedmaps.com. I'm Radical Russ from Normal. In my job as outreach coordinator, I travel every month, and when I'm on the road, I need a fast, accurate way to find the medical marijuana dispensaries in the area. So I turn to Weedmaps.com. Weedmaps.com has the best dispensary locator online or on your mobile device. Search by zip code or let Weedmaps find you, and in seconds you'll have the addresses, phone numbers, and customer service reviews for the medical marijuana dispensaries in the local area. Weedmaps.com also has a section devoted to helping you find a doctor who understands and recommends medical marijuana under your state's law. You can even check prices on the Medical Marijuana Stock Exchange. Coming soon, you'll even be able to find the listings of normal attorneys and chapters, local head shops and grow shops, and the best weed-friendly businesses. Weedmaps.com has the information you need to be an informed cannabis consumer. Visit Weedmaps.com today, a proud sponsor of the Normal Network. Inhaling deeply of the sacred smoke.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carry.
This week, federal and local drug enforcement agents served a search warrant on the Upland G3 Holistic Dispensary that has been battling the city of Upland, California in recent years. California for the a few years that they have been in business. Now, that warrant was served on Monday morning where DEA agents seized about 25 pounds of marijuana and about 89 pounds of medibles that contain marijuana, according to the DEA. Like in many of these raid stories, no arrests were made. But Aaron Sandusky, the president of G3 Holistic, told media that the raiders also took their security cameras and raided a safe, as well as an ATM machine that happened to be in the building. Sandusky explained the feeling that it was like getting worked over by a terrorist organization. He said that the officers came into the building with their weapons drawn at about 9:30 a.m. on Monday morning, and he said that there were about four patients that were in the facility at the time of the raid. All four of those patients, along with employees, were handcuffed and interviewed before they were released. He says that they put all of his inventory in evidence bags and left the facility completely trashed by about 11:30 a.m. Paul Shabbat, who founded the Inland Valley Drug-Free Community Coalition, said that his group is super glad to see the business raided and claims that they have been blatantly disregarding the will of the community for far too long.
You know, this just reminds me, you know, when I spoke, had that debate with Dr. Sabet last week, and, you know, he pointed out that, you know, nobody goes to jail. You're not in jail. You're not in rehab, you know. But they completely ignore the fact that here are some people who felt like they were following the law, that they were obeying Prop 215 and SB 420, that they were trying to help sick and disabled people get cannabis medicine. And they're being terrorized. I mean, this is terrorism. There's no doubt about it here. Having these raids with automatic weapons pointed at your head, it is a terrifying situation. And furthermore, when you see that they rarely bring arrests or charges against these places, they're just merely trying to shut them down, put them out of business. It's no more than what you'd see from the mob. Hey, nice place you got here. It'd be a shame if anything would happen to it. I mean, that's what's going on here. It's thuggery. It's brutal tactics by a police state here that just cannot get its mind around the fact that times have changed. And everybody recognizes the emperor wears no clothes, that marijuana is not Schedule One. It does have medical efficacy. It does have safety in use. It's not very likely to be abused. And nobody buys the lies anymore. It's just a shame we have to see more and more people's lives be turned over, to be ruined, to be terrorized like this until we finally get sensible and just legislation around marijuana.
And this is from Eric Altieri, the Normal Communications Coordinator. He posted this up in an article today that highlights a quote from Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell from this year. Although when you hear it, you might think he just stepped out of a 1936 Reefer Madness propaganda machine. The government has a long history of painting the dangers of marijuana with threats of jazz and immigrants corrupting youth, along with the corruption of women. But that's all from the 1930s. This message from the Senate Minority Leader is from last month. Here it is. Quote. Because of the harm that substances like marijuana and other narcotics pose to our society, I have concerns about this legislation. The detrimental effects of drugs have been well documented. Short-term memory loss, loss of core motor functions, a heightened risk of lung disease, and even death. That's right, he said death. Yes, Congressman McConnell thinks that marijuana can cause death even in 2012. I know, those comments come from a letter to a constituent who wrote to him in favor of legalizing medical marijuana back on February 14th. The letter, of course, has blown up the internet because it was published this week online.
Yeah, and his staff is trying to backtrack on this, trying to say, well, you know, he was, when he was talking about the whole death thing, that, you know, he was talking about all drugs, you know, all illegal drugs, you know, going to lead to death. And of course, that implies the old gateway theory, right? You start with marijuana, you're going to end up on heroin, you're going to get addicted, you're going to follow this gateway. And it just also goes to show how the senators, you know, that they live in this Washington, D.C. bubble without real interface with anybody who would be affected by these drug laws. They believe what they're spoon-fed by the ONDCP and all these anti-drug organizations. And you can see it when he's saying things that are so obviously counter to the facts out here. Marijuana kills. Marijuana's never killed anyone. But they keep getting drilled into their head. Every time you hear drug warriors argue about marijuana legalization, they can't go a sentence without bringing other drugs into it. Because we all know there's not much to fear here from marijuana. So they try to conflate it with all the other drugs. Always notice when someone's busted, it's a drug bust. It's not a marijuana bust, right? Oh, they were busted with drugs. No, they were busted with houseplants is what they were busted with. But McConnell is just typical of the senators in Washington, D.C., so closed off to the reality of cannabis and the fact that more people in America now think it should be legalized than not.
And we have a follow-up on a story, the story about Nick Diaz, the professional ultimate fighter who was suspended by the Nevada State Athletic Commission. We told you last month that Diaz was suspended by the commission after testing positive for marijuana metabolites. Diaz was tested after a February 4th title match in Las Vegas, Nevada, where he lost his title to Carlos Condit in a decision. The Nevada State Athletic Commission, who oversees the rules of Mixed Martial Arts Ultimate Fighting Championships, has asked that Diaz lose his license until the group can have a hearing on the matter and make a final decision with about Diaz's positive marijuana test. Nick Diaz had tested positive for marijuana in the past. In 2007, he was tested after a fight that he won, and the commission at that time took away his victory, changed it to a no contest, and made him give back most of the purse money in that fight and suspended him from fighting for 6 months. Now, this time around, Diaz's lawyers are fighting the actual charge of the actual drug test. Ross Goodman, his lawyer, said that the commission only found marijuana metabolites in his urine and that they are not a banned substance. He said he would like the commission to show him that marijuana metabolites are prohibited, according to the World Doping Agency. Now, Ross Goodman, that lawyer, was telling ESPN.com that marijuana is the only substance that is prohibited, not marijuana metabolites. And the basis to discipline Mr. Diaz is that he tested positive for a prohibited substance. We know he didn't test positive for marijuana, so you look to see what at the WADA whether marijuana metabolites are prohibited, and they do not prohibit it in any category. Now, in a sworn affidavit submitted with the response, Diaz stated that he has been diagnosed with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, for which he has been recommended medical marijuana by his physician. And he wanted to point out that medical marijuana is legal in both Nevada and California, where Diaz resides. Now, Diaz in his camp has said that the fighter suspends his use of marijuana 8 days prior to a contest. Now, under the statutes that are set forth by the Nevada commission, athletes are not punished for using marijuana out of commission. We will see what goes on. Originally, they had a hearing for April. They've put that even farther. But it looks like Nick Diaz, this time for sure, is not going down without a fight.
Yeah, all right. Good for you, Nick Diaz. And I've said it before, when it comes to these professional athletes, it's like, why are we bothering to even worry about whether you're using cannabis? I don't think anyone's here is trying to make the argument that it's a performance-enhancing drug in this case. Although, I've talked to mixed martial artists who say that perhaps it is, because it increases your flexibility and ability to withstand pain. Also, you know, some of them say as far as timing goes, you know, fighting, of course, is very, you know, a lot of timing involved with it. And they say marijuana can help in that way. That's a whole nother discussion as to whether or not marijuana is a performance enhancing drug here. If we're talking about trying to prevent them from taking drugs of abuse, if that's the whole cause here, then it seems ridiculous to me when we see all these professional athletes at the top of their game. the Michael Phelpses, you know, the Nick Diazes, the Cy Young Award winner, Tim Lincecum. I mean, you see people who are at the top of their profession getting paid 7 and 8 figures to maintain being at the top of their profession. They're not going to do something that's going to be a detriment to that. You very rarely hear about any of these athletes with a heroin problem or a meth problem or a cocaine problem occasionally. But almost always when it's a drug bust, when they fail a test, it's marijuana, because they know it's not going to harm them physically, it's not going to harm them mentally, and it's going to do a lot of good for them when they are trying to recover from all of the fights and all the damage that they put onto their bodies. All right, and let's see here. Wrong button. All right, folks.
Marijuana is an addictive drug which produces in its users insanity, criminality, and death. Marijuana is the most violence-causing drug in the history of mankind. If the hideous monster Frankenstein came face-to-face with the monster of marijuana, he'd drop dead from fright. Reefer Madness.
Yeah, welcome. Reefer Madness, folks. Got some new Reefer Madness for you on CNN's opinion page, written by our old good friend, overweight, drinking, smoking gambler Bill Bennett, the former drug czar. And it's entitled, Pat Robertson is Wrong About Marijuana. And this is what William Bennett says. Evangelical patriarch Reverend Pat Robertson has long been a leader in the conservative movement, advocating for a better civil and moral society. But his recent support of marijuana legalization couldn't be more wrongheaded. Robertson said last week in an interview with the New York Times, I really believe we should treat marijuana the way we treat beverage alcohol. I've never used marijuana and I don't intend to, but it's just one of those things that I think this war on drugs just hasn't succeeded. It's completely out of control, Robertson added. Prisons are being overcrowded with juvenile offenders having to do with drugs. And the penalties, the maximums, some of them could get 10 years for possession of a joint of marijuana. It makes no sense at all, end quote. But Bennett continues, Robert's arguments are wrong on each and every fact. First, regulating marijuana like the way we regulate alcohol or cigarettes will only result in increased use and abuse of marijuana, particularly among youths. Well, that's interesting, Bill Bennett. Then why is it that we have legal and regulated alcohol and tobacco, and the 12th grade lifetime use of alcohol has dropped from 92% to 75% since 1976, and the 12th grade lifetime use of tobacco has dropped from 74% to 42% in that same time period since 1976. It would seem to me that legalization, regulation, education, and ID carding is what is keeping those drugs out of the hands of kids. Bennett continues, as the late great political scientist James Q. Wilson put it, the central problem with legalizing drugs is that it will increase drug consumption. Arguing that adding a dangerous substance to the legal marketplace will reduce its usage is to renounce all common sense. Does Robertson truly believe that addicts and first-time users will be curtailed once the substance they seek becomes easier to obtain? Well, see, the problem with that kind of illogic, Mr. Bennett, is that we're not introducing marijuana to the market. Marijuana's in the market. People that want marijuana can get marijuana. In fact, kids say they can get marijuana from this market easier than they can get alcohol and tobacco from the alcohol and tobacco markets. So it's not a question about whether we introduce something to the market. It's who controls that market. Is it regulated? Is it taxed? Is it controlled by the government and not by criminals? Bennett continues, to stay on alcohol for a moment, there are about 79,000 alcohol-related deaths each year. The Centers for Disease Control calculated that excessive drinking costs the United States $223.5 billion annually, and the government pays more than 60% of these healthcare costs. Is that really the model that Robertson would recommend for the betterment of society? Well, if we were arguing whether or not we were going to legalize alcohol, that might be relevant. But alcohol, unlike cannabis, is toxic and addictive. In fact, of the gamut of drugs that people can choose from in the illicit or legal market, alcohol may be the worst drug for you as far as addiction and deleterious effect to every single organ in your body. Bill Bennett, marijuana is not alcohol. He goes on to claim all these things about alcohol and drugs and being easily accessible, and it's the same old reefer madness that we've heard from Bill Bennett all these years. Check it out at CNN.com opinion page, Bill Bennett on why Pat Robertson is wrong. We'll talk more about it in Hour 2, Toker Talk Radio. We'll tear apart some more of this reefer madness. This will not stand. All right, folks. Well, it's that time.
Is it time to take a break, Russ?
It is time to take a break, Carrie. Thank you.
Okay.
Be right back after this.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? Reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
I'm Sub Cool from Team Green Avenger. At TGAGenetics.com, we are working on the leading edge of medical strains. Our strains are rigorously tested for THC, CBD, THCV, and other critical cannabinoids. Know your grow. Check out our genetic diversity at TGAGenetics.com, the home of Jelly Bean, Jack the Ripper, Vortex, and other award-winning cannabis strains.
Georgia. Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 1920s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORMAL, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Today we get tunes for Irie Wednesday, our celebration of that mellow vibe we find in the best of reggae, ska, calypso, and Latin music. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now here's some more great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tune.
All right, welcome back, everyone. Normally at this time, Kyle, a.k.a. NorCal Perps, would be calling in for some Irie Wednesday music. But taking over for Kyle is Wiz Calico, who would be taking over if he was on the phone, but he's not. So taking over for Wiz Calico, taking over for NorCal Perps is Cannabis Carrie. Hi, Carrie.
Hi, guys. Today we have some music from Soja, a band that I've been recently introduced thanks to our Irie Island Hour DJ, Calico Castile. And he just wanted me to mention to you that their new album, Strength to Survive, is out. They have a tour by the same name, and you can go check out sojamusic.com. They also had their big national debut on The Tonight Show this week, if you happen to catch it. Soja, spelled S-O-J-A, stands for Soldiers of the Jaw Army, and their lyrics are socially and politically aware. They've got a lot of influences from Africa. I was reading through their bio, and it looked like a few of them traveled over there. And I love their music, and I just wanted to let you know they're playing in a few places. They've got a tour on right now. I was looking at their tour schedule, Russ, and I think they played something like 360 shows in the last... Ooh. I don't know, like 15 months. Pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Coming up, they've got shows in Myrtle Beach in April, the House of Blues in Orlando, Florida. They're playing all over the East Coast right now. So if you're listening on the East Coast, please go to sojamusic.com. You can check out their tour information. It's a seven-piece band. They have 150,000 albums sold. They played in countries around the world. They've got over 20 million YouTube views. And they have more than 500,000 Facebook fans. And this part I loved. It says that Soja now has been amassing what has been explained as an almost Grateful Dead-like international fan base. They're saying it's growing with each tour and are surprised to find caravans of die-hard Soja fans following them from city to city. So sounds like I'm going to have to check out one of these shows soon, Russ.
Yeah, we got to come up with some cute name for the fans that follow Soja, though. Do they have any sort of, you know, deadheads, you know, fish heads?
Soja heads, I don't know. I'm going to find out. If not, we should definitely give them a moniker.
You know, if they're Soldiers of Jaw Army, shouldn't they be like privates or something? Recruits? I don't know.
I don't know.
We'll get it figured out. Anyway, this is Soja for your Irie Wednesday Daily Toker Tunes.
Thanks, Russ.
Not done yet. Thank you, Carrie.
Thanks, Kaliko, and thanks, Kyle.
Alternative Medical Choices offers healthcare the way it should be. Easy to access, patient-centered, team-based, and quality-focused. We offer a variety of natural, affordable healthcare treatment options like primary care, group acupuncture, massage, and assistance with OMMP registration. As a patient, you will have a team of experts working with you to make you the best you can be. Call Alternative Medical Choices at 503-288-5579 or check us out on the web at altmedchoices.com.
When I was in England, I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it, and didn't inhale, and never tried it again.
I think you'd probably be a lot cooler if you had, Mr. President.
I said, hey, do you have a joint, kids? Sure would be hot. This is Rev Ray Green of Green Central Station here to tell you to bring it live Sundays with Lively Libra and Mr. Libra, coming to you from a remote location in Iowa. It's the Libra Lounge, your pot and politics hangout. Be a lounger right here on the Normal Network. And remember, kids, do your homework.
Right here, Wednesday evening, 7 p.m. Pacific.
The Libra Lounge.
It's time for Normal Show Live's Cannabis Science with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Earlywine is a professor of psychology at the State University of New York in Albany and the author of Understanding Marijuana. Now here's your dose of cannabis science.
All right, welcome back. It's half past, and as usual on Wednesdays, we visit with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. How you doing, Dr. Mitch?
Having a great day.
I'm having a great day, too. You know, we got the daylight savings time. We sprang forward. And medically, does that affect some people when we make that time change like that? Is that a big deal for some people?
It does seem to have an impact at least the first couple of days, but most folks tend to adjust pretty quickly. If you are prone to seasonal affective disorder like myself, you just got to turn on that special lamp a little earlier, and things seem to go just fine.
All right. Want to remind folks that we are live here at 4 o'clock Pacific, 7 o'clock Eastern. So if you're listening and you have a question for Dr. Mitch Earlywine on cannabis science, health, history, culture, you can call right now at 971-533-7111, or you can join our chat room at live.normal.org if you want to get your questions in that way. You can send them by private message to me, Radical Russ, or in the general chat room, and Carrie will pick those up, and we'll get to those right after this first part, which is we always like to give Dr. Mitch a chance to tell us about the latest studies. I saw one that came across about the availability of alcohol and how it relates to people's use of cannabis. Can you tell us more about that?
This is a brilliant study by two economists, one at Denver and one at actually the Bank of Mexico. And they basically looked at the minimum legal drinking age, 21 here in the United States, and looked at essentially how alcohol use and cannabis use vary coming up to age 21 and then after age 21 in a really large national data set. And in an interesting, you know, approach, they basically saw that cannabis and alcohol were substitutes. So the more alcohol you drank, the less cannabis you used. The more cannabis you used, the less alcohol you drank. Mm-hmm. And it happened to coincide to that age 21 when alcohol became essentially legal for purchase. What I found particularly intriguing about this was we've seen a lot of data suggesting, no, they aren't substitutes, they're complements, they both go together, no, they don't. And this is, I think, the cleanest study and does support this substitute idea. What I was sad about was that they said, now this means we better be careful about how we handle the drinking age, and maybe we should lower it to keep marijuana use down in teens. And I just thought, are you nuts? This is clearly not the approach we want to take at all. But it also sends a nice message that I feel like they talk around but don't really get to, and that's if we had a tax and regulated market in marijuana, I really doubt we would have this problem. All of a sudden, you would see with better controls the opportunity for teen marijuana problems is definitely going to drop, because nobody in the although the underground market sells marijuana to teens, nobody in an illicit market would, because that would be the law.
Well, you know, this this finding it corroborates my incredibly unscientific research on the subject. I know my own N equals one study myself. My drinking went way down once I started smoking marijuana. And I travel all over the country, and I do all of these marijuana events, these hemp fests, you know, all many different states, medical states, non-medical states, et cetera. And most of them don't have any alcohol served. And the few that I've been at that do, those beer gardens aren't very well attended at these marijuana events. So for me, it kind of confirms what I've always kind of thought was common sense, that, you know, pot reduces beer use and beer reduces pot use. But this is really nice to finally get this study. Like you say, one of the cleanest studies on this. If we got people in the chat room that have experience on that, you know, that'll be something that we can discuss in hour two, the complementary effect of the substitution effect, I should say, of marijuana and alcohol. How is that effect? affected your life. Any other thoughts on that, Dr. Mitch?
Well, what's curious, too, is there's a meaningful subset of folks who report that actually the combination of cannabis and alcohol simultaneously is really aversive. So I've had folks email saying basically they can't stomach two beers if they've already used cannabis, and I think that that's a kind of telling situation. I do want to emphasize, too, that teen binge drinking is markedly more harmful when you're looking at brain structure than early cannabis use, and so we should really keep that in mind before we start messing around with the minimum legal drinking age. And then the other thing is, literally a dozen years ago, I reviewed the literature on changing the legal drinking age and problems with teen driving, and the only conclusion I could come to was basically we needed to lower the driving age so teens were better at driving by the time they started drinking.
All right. Well, that's, again, very interesting data there. And, you know, another thing that I've heard from, you know, some people, again, I'm not a parent, so I don't go one way or the other on this, but I've heard from some people that'll casually say something like, well, you know, I'd rather I've caught my kid with a joint than I caught him with a bottle of booze or something like that. Is there something to be said? I mean, because one of the, I guess one of the base points of the prohibition of marijuana is we must try to reduce use. And when we see this, that there might be this substitution effect, and we see so many deaths from young people of binge drinking, maybe this substitution and maybe an increased use by youth, if it meant less drinking, it might not be a bad thing.
It's funny because, in truth, before the brain is really developed, both of these can be problematic. But if you do absolutely have to do one, cannabis tends to be markedly less likely to create negative consequences than alcohol. And I feel like the culture around alcohol, especially with teens, is very different. You don't see people doing bong hits saying, come on, man, clear it, or any of the crazy things that you often see with alcohol, where folks are doing these beer bongs and, you know, challenging each other to drink more to the point of literally alcohol poisoning. Nobody says, come on, man, smoke the whole joint. I mean, just it's not the same culture at all. And so I feel like there's something to be said for that.
Yeah, I remember my own history. In 1993, I went to spring break at South Padre Island, Texas. And I remember the drive-through stores where you could just drive up, pop your trunk, and they'd load a keg up for you, keg of beer. And the young folks, you know, college age, you know, 18 to 24, I guess, taking the kegs down to the beach and doing what was known as keg stands. You can do a handstand on the keg and have the nozzle in your mouth, you know, drinking it as fast as you can. And this is seen kind of as a rite of passage. You know, they'll look at all these young people having their spring break. Ah, remember the days. It just bugs me when we see that kind of cultural acceptance for the abuse of alcohol, and yet any use of marijuana is considered abusive.
I couldn't agree more, and I also want to emphasize, although it's rare, but if you're driving from Kansas City to my mom's house down in the Ozarks, you will pass herbs, liquor, and ammo, and you suddenly see these really absurd and frightening combinations of alcohol intoxication and a lot of dangerous behaviors, and it's really just not what we want to see in the United States.
All right, we want to go to our calls. We got calls and chat questions. We can call in at 971-533-7111 with your live question or get it in on the chat room. And one question coming in here asks about, I guess we could call it the pharmaceuticalization of medical marijuana. And they're asking, what's in the pipeline right now as far as the U.S. government approving cannabis medicines? And do you think that that is perhaps a way they are trying to, restrict our access to plant cannabis or to restrict the growth of medical marijuana states?
I do feel like that this is potentially problematic. So we are seeing a number of studies that have been approved, not only here but also in Australia, where folks are trying to use cannabis-related products, synthetic cannabinoids, and even some plant extracts to treat individual symptoms. And I think that's delightful. Nevertheless, I feel like if that's going to limit our opportunities for different strains in medical marijuana in the United States, we're really going to run into trouble. The diversity of the plant, the amazing combinations of cannabinoids and other phytochemicals, basically, you know, other aspects of the plant that we really don't even understand yet, it's just so essential. And you see all these strain-related differences in responses to the plant depending on different medical conditions. We don't want to shut ourselves out on all these opportunities. The idea that we would even be limited to only a handful of strains would be a real deficit. And if we're suddenly all forced to rely on nabilone or, you know, one of these crazy synthetic cannabinoids, we're really going to cut ourselves short on the opportunities to help the sickest of the sick.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we've got a question here that kind of segues in from that one. Dolphinus 13 wanted to know, is it possible that sticking to the exact same strain that you can get used to it and it doesn't work as effectively over time?
Indeed, we are seeing, you know, tolerance to THC itself in the lab. There's some animal evidence to, you know, relatively small but definitely detectable tolerance to some of the other cannabinoids as well, at least in the animal literature. And I feel like these other things that tend to appear in some of the other strains, we don't have the data on, but it makes perfect sense when you start thinking about how we develop tolerance to other substances. And so the notion of actually having two strains that are comparable in their impact on symptoms and being able to go back and forth is much like what we've talked about using cannabis with opiates or in as an adjunct to other medications in the hopes of being able to basically keep our dosages reasonable and make sure you don't develop tolerance to the medicines that are working the best.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and you know, on the line of THC and CBD, these are a couple of the cannabinoids we hear a lot about. Of course, everyone had always heard about THC, the cannabinoid that gets you high, so to speak. CBD is now making a lot of news as researchers are discovering the properties of cannabidiol, CBD. The question here wants to know, are there other cannabinoids? What's the next big cannabinoid, I guess they're asking, that we're going to start hearing more and more about?
It's intriguing because the concentration of the other ones in the plant is relatively lower than we see with THC and CBD, so it's hard to second guess. I think what we'll probably see more of is combinations where we'll have THC in combination with some of these other ones and trying to work out those details. But I feel sometimes like it's that situation with George Bush the First and the broccoli. It's like, look, broccoli's good for you. Just eat the broccoli. And he's like, oh, no, find the chemical in broccoli that's the source. I think in some ways that's kind of silly. If you've got a strain that works for you, why should we drive ourselves nuts walking through, you know, literally 60-plus cannabinoids to try to find the exact one when, in fact, it's probably some novel combination?
Yeah. All right. And I want to remind folks that if you didn't get a chance to get your question in here for Dr. Mitch Earlywine, you can always send it in by email to 420research@gmail.com. That's 420research@gmail.com. We have one question here to end up the segment from Dolink wants to know, he says he's still fighting migraines. I've used high THC and high CBD strains. Some increase or stem the headaches. But where could I find out more info on, you know, how which types of strains and balances of THC and CBD would best work for migraine?
This is a sad situation, and Dr. Ethan Russo has done a big review on just cannabis more generally on migraines, and it's extremely encouraging. But unfortunately, we just don't have the data that are strain individualized. I feel like there are a number of places where if you've got a dispensary and you can ask some folks there, they're often the best line of defense in something like this because they at least have some other clients who are likely to have reported on this. It's, you know, it's unfortunate that we're in that situation. I have heard just informally that both the purple haze and the various bubblegummy strains tend to be good for migraines, at least in a few anecdotal reports for folks who have emailed me. But by all means, asking the folks at your dispensary may be the most efficient way to find out.
All right. All right. Thanks for the question there. And folks, if you want to know more about what's going on with medical marijuana and the patients who are fighting for access to it, there's a great conference coming up in Tucson, Arizona, the Patients Out of Time Conference, April 26th through the 30th, I believe, are the dates. But you might want to look that up, Patients Out of Time. I will actually be at that conference delivering some information on some presentations on marijuana. So I hope to see you there. Dr. Mitch, will you be out at that Tucson conference?
As it turns out, I have a competing gymnastics meet for the girls. they're gonna be mad at me if I ditch.
I understand.
I may not be able to make that one.
Well, good luck to your girls in the gymnastics meet then.
All right,
Dr. Mitch Earlywine joins us every Wednesday here for our Cannabis Science segment. Check out his books available on Amazon.com and other fine book retailers. Dr. Mitch, thanks for joining us.
Always a pleasure.
When we come back, West Virginia Normal after this.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Have you considered medical marijuana? Double-blind, peer-reviewed studies have found cannabinoid therapies to be successful in treating the symptoms of Alzheimer's disease, ALS or Lou Gehrig's disease, brain cancers, chronic pain, diabetes mellitus, dystonia, fibromyalgia, GI disorders, hepatitis C, HIV/AIDS, hypertension, incontinence, MRSA, multiple sclerosis, osteoporosis, pruritus, rheumatoid arthritis, sleep apnea, and Tourette's syndrome, as well as anecdotal evidence suggesting relief from anxiety, depression, and post-traumatic stress, plus reduction in the need for narcotic painkillers. Side effects of medical marijuana can include euphoria, relaxation, anxiety, panic reactions, paranoia, tachycardia, dry eyes, dry mouth, concentration and reaction time impairment, appetite increase, and in 37 states, arrest and incarceration. But medical marijuana is non-toxic and cannot cause overdose. Medical marijuana. It's not for everyone, but ask your doctor if medical marijuana may be right for you.
You know why we pirates love the Normal Show? Har, har. Because it's always smoking, matey. Har, 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 har,
Marijuana and alcohol are the two most popular recreational drugs in America. Marijuana smoking is non-toxic, relatively safe, and has a low risk of dependence. Alcohol drinking is potentially fatal, dangerous to society, and is quite addictive. Marijuana is safer, so why are we driving people to drink? That's the question of the new book, Marijuana is Safer, So Why Are We Driving People to Drink? By Paul Armentano, Mason Tvert, and Steve Fox. Visit Amazon.com or ChelseaGreen.com today to order your copy of Marijuana is Safer, or visit MarijuanaIsSafer.com.
This is Normal Show Live.
We're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana, and the next thing you know, they got 10 years. They've got mandatory sentences, and these judges say, they throw up their hands and say, there's nothing we can do, there's mandatory sentences. We've got to take a look at what we're considering crimes.
When the Reverend Pat Robertson from television's The 700 Club...
criminalizing marijuana, criminalizing the possession of a few ounces of pot and that kind of thing, I mean, it's just...
makes more sense on the marijuana issue than the president, the Congress, and the Supreme Court.
It's costing us a fortune, and it's ruining young people. Young people go into prisons, they come out, they go in as youths, and they come out as hardened criminals, and it's not a good thing.
You know we're winning.
The fact is today, people don't go to jail for possession of marijuana. I know you like to pretend it does, and there's a lot of misinformation about that, but finding somebody in jail or prison for a first-time nonviolent offender for possession of marijuana is like finding a unicorn. You find one, you will make a big story because it doesn't exist. Finding somebody in jail or prison for a first-time nonviolent offender for possession of marijuana is like finding a unicorn, finding a unicorn, finding a unicorn.
Normal Show Live, the National Wildlife Refuge for Marijuana Unicorns.
I'm gonna light me a pipe of inspiration. I'm gonna blow away troubles on my head. I'm gonna need
this plastic place to your plastic eateries, and travel to a better place, and travel to a better place, and travel to a better place instead.
The effects of marijuana prohibition are felt by all Americans in every walk of life, regardless of race, creed, color, religion, social status, wealth, gender, sexual orientation, or even one's use or non-use of marijuana. As the Marijuana Smokers Lobby, Normal hears the stories of these average Americans and brings them to the attention of our policymakers and our fellow citizens in this segment we call Normal Newsmakers.
All right, welcome back, everyone. And when we say we're the voice of the marijuana nation, we mean the entire nation. You know, when you're perusing the news on marijuana, it oftentimes focuses on the medical marijuana states, especially California, but a lot of the West Coast and Colorado, a little bit of Montana and Michigan every now and then. But, you know, people are fighting for the end of marijuana prohibition all over this country. And that includes West Virginia, where we go right now to Dave Dawson, who's the deputy director of West Virginia Normal. Dave, how you doing?
Great, Russ. Thanks for having me on.
I'm so glad to have you here. You know, the last bit of news that we delivered on West Virginia is that you had a medical marijuana bill that was introduced. Can you tell us the fate of that bill?
It lingered in committee. A lot of folks, I think, called, and we had a lot of other folks visiting the Capitol. Don Perdue is the chair of the Health and Human Resources Committee, and that's where the bill never did make it to the agenda. So what we did is we introduced some study resolutions.
Oh, okay. So what are those resolutions? Got a couple of resolutions going before the House. Tell people what those are.
Yeah, and the reason we did that is we in West Virginia, we have a really short legislative session. It just lasts from January into March. Mm-hmm. And that's the only time period when bills are typically passed. We have interim sessions that go on through the summer. And when a resolution is introduced, in this case was a House concurrent resolution 144 and 146, it can become a topic for the rest of the year. People can call their senator or their delegate because they meet in joint committees throughout the summertime and can take on these types of studies. So it keeps it pertinent in the legislature and gives people something to call the legislator, delegate, or senator about.
Now, is this something that goes straight for a vote of the House, or is this also something that could be held up in a committee?
This essentially is committee politics. It's nothing mm-hmm. that will be presented before the House. However, more committees are able to seek it out from the leadership for the congressional leadership. And the delegate and Senate leadership, and they can request a study.
Okay.
So during the summertime, in preparation of the next legislative session in January, so perhaps the Health and Human Resources Committee could pick it up, or one of their subcommittees which have different chairpersons, or a senator as a chairperson. You know, people can go on the West Virginia, the state WV.US website. They have a great website on how to get a hold of your senators and your delegates, and you can see the committees that they're on there. And we have the health committee, the judicial committees as well, mm-hmm. And the economic development committee is also one for one of our bills or one of our study resolutions that we introduced, which happens to be a tax and regulate. So okay. Not only did we introduce a study resolution for medical, but we thought, you know, we see Colorado, we see Washington, several other reports and people just coming out, the International Center for Science and Drug Policy report, and Global Commission on Drug Policy, all these different folks coming forward and just saying this is what it's supposed to be. This is a substance less harmful than alcohol. And all the profits are going to black market, and kids aren't getting ID'd. Kids are ending up in jail for small marijuana offenses, and they're booking our prisons. Right now, working down at the legislature, I hear through the grapevine that Prison Corporation of America is here, or Corrections Corporation of America is lobbying heavily in West Virginia. They want to buy our prisons and take, quote, the burden of the prison system off our hands.
Right.
And they want, you know, they want a guarantee of 90% filled prisons, and that's just going to be filled with our youth. And,
yeah.
And
it's just obscene. Terrible. We're speaking with Dave Dawson from West Virginia Normal. You can get more information at wvnormal.org. Is that's the website, correct?
Correct.
All right. And two resolutions, one to study tax and regulate, one to study medical marijuana. And before I let you go, can you give us the name of the delegate who headed the committee that held up medical marijuana this year?
That was Don Perdue.
Don Perdue. Don Perdue.
All right.
He got the official
maybe
boo.
Maybe we can give props to the delegate who has been very brave on this issue and many others that are unpopular with big business, big government, but very popular with the people, and it's Mike Minipenny.
All right. Good for him.
Yeah.
Well, Dave Dawson, thanks for joining us here on Normal Soul Live and filling us in on what's going on in West Virginia. We appreciate it.
Hey, great talking to you, and thanks for having me on. Keep up the good work, Russ.
We'll have you back again sometime soon, I hope.
Thanks.
Take it easy.
From the colleges to the pros, X Games to Olympic Games, and joint rolling contests to bongathons, it's time for Normal Rock Sports.
That, of course, is the theme from Herb Thrasher's show, Normal Rock Sports. And I'm just bringing this up because we got our Reefer March Madness going on. Check it out, Reefer March Madness. You can just go to our blog at stash.normal.org. You can fill in your NCAA college basketball tournament bracket and compete with the rest of us here on the Normal Network. There's 8 or 9 players already signed up. There's no prize here other than the bragging rights. It's also, I want to see how well we do against the rest of the nation. You know, people all around the nation and the world, for that matter, are filling out their brackets. President Obama has a bracket and so forth. I would just love it if one of our Normal Network people was one of the best brackets in the country. You know, they always say, you know, what were you smoking when you picked that team? Well, I believe I was smoking some Super Silver Haze, as a matter of fact. So check it out, Reefer March Madness. It's available at stash.normal.org. Also, before we go, we've got Brian and Craig that are hanging out here. And Brian wanted me to do a little show and tell here because, you know, we get questions a lot of times here from people that want to know about the culture of marijuana. And they've asked many times, you know, what's a dime bag? What is a dime bag? You know, what's a dime bag? So we finally found out here at Roll J Studios, after intense investigation, what a dime bag is. We've got the official definition. Say, here is a dime, right? Here we got a dime. Let me get the little block up here, right? See, there's a dime, right? There's a dime. And then this is a dime bag. Yes, there you go. There's your dime bag, a bag the size of a dime. So now you know. Thank you very much, Brian.
I actually call that minor possession.
Minor possession. Explain.
Well, you know, that in some states, a lot of states, you can actually go to jail, you know, for that amount of marijuana. And we should just be lucky to be, you know, in a state that's so open.
No kidding. No kidding. Well, thanks for bringing in the dime bag. We appreciate that. And we appreciate everybody who's tuned in here to Normal Show Live. Stay tuned for Hour 2. Toker Talk Radio is coming up next. We got a great new theme that we've put together. And I want to thank the band Giles for our theme. It's called Freedom. And I thought that was appropriate for Toker Talk Radio. Also, coming up, we've got the Normal Aspen Legal Seminar. Check your calendar. Normal Aspen Legal Seminar starts May 31st this year, May 31st through June 2nd in Aspen, Colorado. It is a legal seminar for continuing education. So if you're a lawyer, you can get your continuing education credits there, but it's not open to just lawyers. So you can go there if you want to learn more about the law. They do a lot of seminars, stuff on opening dispensaries and collectives and what the medical marijuana laws are in the different states. We end up meeting a lot of business people there who go to that Aspen Legal Seminar. We will be there, cross my fingers, covering it and bringing you live streaming from Aspen, Colorado, including what may be our last trip to Hunter S. Thompson's Owl Farm. Last time I was at Hunter's place, I picked this up. This is a Hunter S. Thompson shotgun shell that he used to fire at a keg, the big old blown apart keg on his property. All right, that's all the time we've got for Normal Show Live today. Thanks for joining us for Cannabis Carry. I'm Radical Russ. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Take it on one more time. You take a seat. you're planet, you're growing, you're giant, you're rolling, you're small, yeah. You take a seat, you're planet, you're growing, you're giant, you're rolling, you're small, yeah. You take a seat, you're planet.